Good evening. A major earthquake rocks Southern California. No serious injuries so far reported. The president calls out the military to support American independence, and some Democratic candidates respond. With these and other stories, I'm Paul D'Arienzo with the news for Thursday, July 4th, 2019. A strong earthquake rattled a huge swath of Southern California and parts of Nevada on Thursday, rattling nerves on the July 4th holiday and causing some damage in a town near the epicenter amid a swarm of ongoing aftershocks. The 6.4 magnitude quake struck at 10:33 a.m. in the Mojave Desert, about 150 miles northeast of Los Angeles, near the town of Ridgecrest, California. It's the strongest quake to hit the region in 20 years.
So the basics of the earthquake is near China Lake and Ridgecrest. So the area to the east of the southernmost part of the San Andreas Fault. The nearest fault is the Little Lake Fault, and that it might be associated with it, but we don't know. We have to have a field geologist to tell us. It is a relatively uninhabited, it's a sparsely inhabited area, so the number of people who would have received damage is much lower. I think we need to check what's happening in Ridgecrest and China Lake. Damage reports do not come here. We are seismologists measuring the movement of the ground. Damage reports go to the Governor's Office of Emergency Services.
And the mayor of Ridgecrest, town of 28,000 people, said firefighters were working to put out five fires, at least one of them at a home, but that she didn't know if any injuries had been reported. The San Bernardino Fire Department said there were no injuries reported as of this afternoon.
Firefighters are in the community continuing their damage assessment. We do have numerous residences that have sustained minor damage with cracking to the buildings, some broken windows. However, we have had no reports of injuries, no structural collapses, or any fires related to the earthquake.
The mayor said the local senior center was holding a July 4th event when the quake hit and everyone made it out shaken up but without injuries. A series of aftershocks included a 4.5 magnitude tremor, according to the United States Geological Survey. Dr. Jones has become an earthquake celebrity in California with her calm, no-nonsense scientific demeanor. The seismologist became famous, helping Los Angeles through the 1994 Northridge earthquake, about the same size as today's but closer to the city. It caused 57 deaths and made 125,000 people homeless. Jones spoke reportedly on the continuing aftershocks earlier today.
On the aftershocks that we've been recording, so far we have about 30 that are above magnitude 3 and 6 above magnitude 4. Overall, this is a very robust sequence. And on the theory that when you have a lot of earthquakes, you tend to have a lot of earthquakes, we try to estimate the rate of aftershocks from what we're recording. And from that, we have about an 80% chance of at least one magnitude 5, and about a 9% chance that something larger than 6.4 could occur over the next week. That's just saying this is a big sequence, which shouldn't be surprising anybody who's been watching what's been going on for the last 2 hours. We also have locations on some of them, and that's where we were trying to get up this this map here. And it's interesting, it does look like we might be seeing two different faults. Okay. If you would do that. So the main shock was actually located in the middle. At that intersection between those two strands. And so we think the main fault was rupturing down towards the southwest, which would have focused the energy towards Ridgecrest. But then there's also a second fault that seems to have been activated going up to the northwest. Again, this area, that's not completely surprising. Look at those little black lines in there. There's a bunch of them. This is an area with a lot of little faults that in a rather complex area moving apart. It does suggest that Ridgecrest was particularly hard hit. We have reports from California Office of Emergency Services that there seem to be a couple of structure fires going on in Ridgecrest, and they're responding to them. There is also a small community called Trona, which is even closer to the ruptures, and it's on a dried lake bed. We do not have any communication with them yet. They would be a place that potentially there's significant damage. As I said, we're seeing at least two faults involved. This area is characterized by robust sequences. So we expect to be seeing a lot of earthquakes today, and some of them could be damaging. Probably at least one more will be damaging.
Kern County just tweeted something that suggested that they were anticipating a quake in 15 minutes. This tweet came out a little while ago.
There is nothing that gives us the time of a particular event. Now, I'm going to tell you, I think there will be a magnitude 5 today. I did that on the day of Northridge, and when it happened, people said, you predicted the earthquake. And I said, I predict rain in Kauai, too. This is the same situation. When the probabilities are this high, then you can say, yes, there'll probably be a magnitude 5 today, but it's not the time of any particular event. There's nothing. If somebody's giving out a time of a particular event, they're not basing it on science. Okay? That's probably what we've really got about the aftershocks. We said we don't yet have, the geologists haven't yet gotten out, so we don't have a report yet on that.
There's a lot of ancient volcanic history out of Little Lake, correct?
Little Lake is a volcanic region. There are some active volcanics.
Right. There's a cinder cone.
And the China Lake Weapon Center runs a geothermal plant there. So there are active, there's magma at depth. There's molten rock at depth, which has been used to tap for geothermal energy. So it's a potentially volcanic area.
You mentioned the China Lake Naval Weapons Station, and you've been saying damage is probably highest in the Ridgecrest and China Lake area. Are you hearing of any damage at that Naval Weapons Station?
Remember, damage does not get reported to us.
Right.
We had a phone call with OES, who the only thing they told us was about structure fires in Ridgecrest.
Okay, and I heard...
Area residents, usually stoic in the face of earthquakes, were startled by the rolling motions. The tremor, which struck in an area in the edge of Death Valley National Park, was felt throughout Los Angeles, as far north as Fresno and as far east as Las Vegas, Nevada. It was even felt south of the border in Mexico, where buildings were evacuated in the towns of Tijuana and Mexicali, according to Baja state officials.
David actually felt the quake. He was sitting nearby on a bench. What did it feel like for you? Felt like rolling?
It felt like it was rolling and just like shaking. Quite a bit for at least 10 or 15 seconds. And then I saw the window shaking at the building that was I was right nearby. And then it seemed to last for at least 15 seconds and then stop or die out and then start it up again for another at least 10 seconds.
And you were there for Northridge back in the 90s. How does this compare to what you felt in Northridge?
No, this was nothing compared to that. The Northridge was a lot more like shaking and rolling, more of a rolling effect.
Also with us was Gerald, who was actually on the road, when you felt the quake.
Yeah,
tell us what you felt.
I was driving with my kids, and I got dropped off in downtown L.A. And it was our weird experience. About to get on the freeway, the car just started shaking. It sounded like the car had batteries in it. No, but it was a weird experience. But it wasn't that heavy. I had earthquake experience before, but it was all right. Nothing too major. But yeah, it was weird.
I know you told me earlier you didn't know what it was, but your mom texted you and said you feel the quake, and you're like, it had to be a quake.
That's how I knew it was a quake, because it started shaking. I didn't put too much to it, so we got back on the freeway. My phone started blowing up. My mom calling me, checking on us. Because I have my kids in the car, too. So she wanted to know everything was okay. But yeah, nice shakes. Yeah. Watch out for the earthquakes, y'all.
Temperatures in the area were expected to climb to nearly 100 degrees Fahrenheit on Thursday with extremely low humidity. President Donald Trump said he had been briefed on the earthquake. He said all seems to be very much under control. And you're listening to the news on WBAI New York. I'm Paul DiRienzo. With a court deadline looming, the Trump administration is looking at every option as it seeks to add a contentious citizenship question to the 2020 census. Government lawyers are scrambling to meet a Friday afternoon deadline set by Maryland-based U.S. District Court Judge George Hazel, who wants the administration to state its intentions. The White House said it was looking at all options to get the questions onto the form. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross on Tuesday said the Census Bureau had started the process of printing the census questionnaires without the citizenship query, giving the impression that the administration had backed down. A group of states, including New York and immigrant rights organizations, challenged the legality of the citizenship question. Three different federal judges blocked the administration before the Supreme Court intervened. If the administration does not detail its plans by Friday, Hazel said he would press ahead with considering allegations that the decision to add the question was motivated by racial bias. And an anti-war organization, Code Pink, has put up a 20-foot-tall diaper-clad balloon of an infant Donald Trump in the shadow of the Washington Monument to protest what it calls the president's co-opting of Independence Day. Trump has ordered the Pentagon to stage military demonstrations, including a flyover of jets, helicopters, and other aircraft. Trump says he'll speak on behalf of our great country at his Salute to America event. But Code Pink says the Republican president's event is a campaign rally. It says the balloon is a great symbol because he's a big baby and is prone to tantrums.
I'm Arielle Gold. I'm the national co-director for Code Pink, and I am right now on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., where President Trump will be speaking later today, and we have brought the big baby Trump blimp from London for his debut in D.C., and also Toilet Trump, who was also in London.
What is exactly the balloon baby Trump, and what does it represent?
The baby Trump is an 18-foot-tall balloon of Trump in a diaper or nappies, as they would say in the U.K., and that's where he originated. When Trump made his first visit to London, the British people flew that blimp overhead, and it became an iconic symbol around the world. And so along with that, we also have a 16-foot-tall Trump who is sitting on a golden toilet tweeting, and it's a mechanical Trump, and so he has a few things to say. He says fake news, witch hunt, things like that. And what both of them symbolize is the erratic and dangerous nature of President Trump and the division that he has created with his racism, Islamophobia, misogyny, and incitement to war. Mm-hmm.
Tell me, did you actually get the Trump balloon in the air?
We did not get it in the air because despite multiple attempts, we were unable to get the permit to put helium into the balloon, even to raise him 2 feet off the ground. But however, he's still quite magnificent, very tall. You can see him from a good long distance away, standing up there in all his glory.
Where is he right now exactly standing?
Right now he is, you're at the World War II Memorial, right across the street and on the left side. We had also wanted to be on the right side, right in front of the World War II Memorial, which would have put us right in President Trump's line of sight during his speech. And unfortunately, we were unable to obtain that permit as well. But still, it's quite magnificent what's going on here.
Why wouldn't they give you the permit? I thought that was already done, the permit.
The permit was done, but they messed around a bit with the location, and so they ended up moving us to the other side. Yeah.
But about flying it as well? They never really gave you that at all, or did they give you some?
They didn't give us a helium permit. They gave us the permit to inflate him with air and to be on the mall.
I see. I didn't know there was a distinction.
We should say it's quite ironic in the land of the free on Independence Day, and while the president is flying military jets above and has brought tanks onto the streets of Washington, D.C., quite ironic that we were denied a permit to lift a balloon 2 feet off the ground.
And have you seen any sign of military equipment, tanks and things like that? Have you
seen all over D.C. by the National Mall we have.
Yeah, describe a little bit in detail what you've been seeing as far as military gear.
Yeah, I have to say it was quite shocking for me as I was walking into the National Mall to see military vehicles. I refer to all of them as tanks, you know, whatever their exact details are. But the giant military vehicles on the streets of D.C., you can really see that stage of police state and take over that way.
What are you seeing as far as turnout? Is it the usual turnout?
It's still early. It's 2 o'clock, but it's quite, people are filing in, and there's quite a few people here at the baby Trump balloon and the toilet Trump.
What is the reaction of people to it?
We have all sides of reaction, I would say. We have folks that are really interested in what's going on and wanting to be a part of this festival. And then we have Trump supporters. We have both Trump supporters that are quite humored by it and, you know, quite gracious about it. And then we've also got some pretty aggressive, angry folks, too. There's quite a lot of press here as well. Yeah. We definitely have some folks yelling Trump, 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 and things like that. USA, USA.
Is the world press out there?
There's quite a bit of press out here.
I bet. All right, very good. Anything you'd like to add?
We just want to remind folks on this day that Trump has taken over this national holiday here in D.C., that we have created an area that has been liberated from that politicizing of the holiday and liberated from the hatred and racism that President Trump spews.
Ariel Gold is co-director of the anti-war group Code Pink. We'll be hearing from Code Pink members later in this extended news broadcast. We'll be taking calls from you, the listener. Our number in the studio is going to be 212-209-2877. Keep it nearby. And thousands of people are braving scorching humid weather pouring into Washington for 4th of July festivities today, Thursday, Independence Day. But the year's celebration also promised to be stamped with President Trump's personal brand as tanks and other fighting vehicles stood on display. Inside the secure area near the Lincoln Memorial, where Trump is holding his salute to America, several thousand people, many wearing Make America Great Again hats and decked in red, white, and blue, have been camping for hours ahead of the president's speech. But his Democratic rivals were weighing in, too. In Iowa, former President Joe Biden addressed supporters at a rally.
You know, what would I wonder, what will Donald Trump say this evening? I mean, sincere. When he speaks to the nation at an event designed more to stroke his ego than celebrate American ideals? Will he speak to the example America must set for the rest of the world and we have set in the past? Will he offer a robust defense of democratic values, as other presidents always have, and the strength in our times of crisis? We'll know the answer to that. Donald Trump, I believe, is incapable of celebrating what makes America great because I don't think he gets it. No, I'm going to explain why. I don't think he gets it. He literally has trouble distinguishing between our allies and our adversaries. No, think about it. Because he doesn't grasp that America is the march of the mind toward greater openness, greater understanding, greater human freedom in the pursuit and pursue lives of meaning and fulfillment, giving people some breathing room. Now, if Donald Trump has 8 years in the White House, he's going to forever and fundamentally alter the character of this nation. And we can't let that happen, period. Thank you. And whether or not I'm your nominee, and I hope I will be your nominee, I'm going to work like the devil, whoever the nominee is, if it's not me, to see to it that doesn't happen. Look. When's the last time you can ever recall a reading about a history who embraces dictators and strongmen and fundamentally a rejection of everything our founders wrote about? Vladimir Putin in Russia, Kim Jong-un in North Korea, Mohammed bin Salman in Saudi Arabia. Their drive to concentrate greater and greater power in their own hands and to silence the opposition, including through brutal assassinations. That's what I call the death of liberty. Last week, Vladimir Putin gave an interview where he crowed, quote, "The Western liberal ideal has become obsolete." Okay? But here's Trump's response to that. According to the press, Donald Trump thought he was talking about Democrats in California. Not a joke. Our president doesn't understand the difference between liberals as opposed to conservatives in our political context and liberal as opposed to autocratic systems of government. Because that's what Putin and others stand for. Well, I'm here to tell Vladimir Putin, who I've met a number of times, Donald Trump, anyone want to hear it, the liberal idea is an American ideal. We've never will let it be obsolete.
And that's former Vice President Joe Biden addressing supporters at a rally in Iowa. And at another venue in the Hawkeye State, organized by NARAL, where the first primary caucus will be held next year, Senator Kamala Harris had this to say about those who have accused her of concealing her role as a tough law and order prosecutor.
As a prosecutor, I am very proud of my record. So first of all, as I've shared with you about my background, I grew up in a community and in a family and in a neighborhood where I was acutely aware from the day I was born about the flaws in the criminal justice system. And I made a very conscious decision, therefore, to become a prosecutor, believing that when we want to reform systems, there is certainly an important role to be played on the outside in terms of advocacy and activism. But why not also be on the inside where the decisions are being made, where you can have the ability to have a voice and potentially a very powerful voice? And so that's why I made the decision. And so I am proud of my record that I am one of the first elected prosecutors in the country to have started a reentry initiative focused on first-time drug sales offenders and getting them jobs and counseling and support. And it ended up, my program initiative ended up being designated as a model of innovation for law enforcement in the United States. I am proud of the work that I did when I was Attorney General and required my special agents to wear body cameras and keep them on. And I was one of the, I think it might have been the first state agency to do that. I'm proud of the work that we have done, even in my role in the United States Senate, as being a leader on what we need to do to reform the money bail system in America, which means that every day in America, there are people sitting in jail waiting for trial simply because they don't have the money for bail, which for me, that means that's not only a criminal justice reform matter, that's about economic justice. But I'll give you more information about all of the details on that, but I am very proud of our record, and I am also never going to run away from the reality also that I also strongly believe if a woman is raped, if a child is molested, if one human being kills another human being, there needs to be serious consequence. And I'm also never going to shy away from that or apologize.
And that's Kamala Harris, who's running for president, the senator from California. Trump's speech begins at this hour. A partial transcript released by the White House reads, "As we gather this evening in the joy of freedom, remember that we all share a truly extraordinary heritage." Trump plans to say, "Together, we are part of one of the greatest stories ever told, the story of America." And welcome back to WBAI. I'm Paul DiRienzo, and we have an extended version of WBAI Evening News. By the way, we were listening to Phil Oakes a moment ago, The Power and the Glory, One View of America, a little bit different maybe than the one we've been hearing from Donald Trump. And we have joining us on the line someone who's in Washington, D.C. right now, reporting directly from the she'll tell us exactly where she is as soon as we have her on right now. And that's Ann Wright. Ann, you're no stranger to our air here at WBAI, and you're involved with Code Pink, and you've been down there with the giant inflatable baby Trump. And you've also been, I believe there's the Trump on a golden toilet bowl as well. Is that accurate?
Oh, my gosh, yes. We have been down here since 10 in the morning when the Secret Service finally reopened the National Mall so people could come in. And the baby Trump with his little diaper.
Go ahead.
Got blown up about 11 a.m. or was inflated, I guess that's what I should say. And then
self-inflated? Was it self-inflated?
Yeah, a lot of hot air. from it itself. So we've had lots of people that have stopped by to offer their comments. A lot of them that agree with us that Trump is, he's using the national holiday as his personal campaign project, his hijacked the 4th of July. And then we have, the Trump supporters that are here that he's called out. So it's been quite a day.
Mm-hmm. And so how has it been? What has the general reaction been? Have you had a lot of debates with people, or have people been generally supportive? How have they, how's it broken down?
Oh, heavens, we've had debates with everyone. And that's been what's so fun about this, is that the Trump supporters, a lot of them have had their picture taken with the baby Trump. And we talk, what are your views on this and that? And while we agree to disagree on so many things, we've had some really good discussions. We had four young men from Georgia that came in with their faces painted red, white, and blue with the flag. And they said they'd never met any liberals. So they stayed with us for about 2 hours talking with everyone about what their their views were on things. And they said, you know, we are anti-war. We don't want our country going to war. We said, well, heavens, that's exactly what we stand for, too. So we've had some good discussion.
It's interesting because, you know, I've heard it said that Donald Trump reminds people of a broken clock. He's right twice a day.
Well, that's true. There are just so many crazy things that man has done to our country, and the way that he has acted as the president of the United States, the top elected official